You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, August 26th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Reaching Your Potential.
Shout amen. That was good, wasn't it? Amen. That was good. Praise the Lord for that. Take your Bible, go back to Joshua chapter 17, please. Look at verse 12, where the Bible says, Yet the children of Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Look at verse 13. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxed strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. And I want to speak tonight on reaching your full potential. I really believe this, that inside of the Canaanites' lives, you see three different types of people. The Canaanites, may I say, is a representation of the power of the devil. The Canaanites is a representation of those that were demon worshipers, those that were anti-God, those that did not stand for that which was truth, but stood against truth. But I believe tonight that inside of the Canaanites, you see different types of people that bring different types of things in your life. And also in response to that, I believe as you see tonight that we'll more readily study, you'll see that in the lives of those that were of Manasseh. We understand this. We understand that God had given a charge to those that were of the tribe of Manasseh. The charge was that they were supposed to go and they were supposed to occupy the land. They were given a portion of land, and they were supposed to go and occupy that land, and they were supposed to discharge all those that were in the land. You're going to see that they did not do that. Matter of fact, take your Bible and let's look at it together if you're not already there. In Joshua chapter 17, and verse 12, the Bible says, Yet the children of Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of those cities. Now, they were supposed to go in, and they were supposed to drive out the Canaanites. They did not go in and drive out the Canaanites. So here's what they did. They occupied the land, but they did not drive out those that were in the land. So here's what you see. They partially obeyed God. They did not fully obey the Lord. Now, by the way, when God tells us to do something, God wants us to fully obey, not partially obey. When a person begins to partially obey, they get themselves in trouble. All right, just watch a scenario, if you will. When a person fully obeys, then they have the full blessings of God. When they partially obey, they have the partial blessings of God. When they do not obey, they do not have the blessings of God. So you understand where the tribe of Manasseh was. They were a tribe that was about to receive the partial blessings of God and not the full blessings of God. Now why? Because they did not obey God fully. Notice what the Bible says in verse 12 as we continue. The Bible says to drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in the land. Now here's a people that said, I'm not going anywhere. And here's God's people. And God's people were supposed to drive out the Canaanites. But what took place was they decided they were not going to drive out the Canaanites. They decided that they were not going to go and push them out like God had told them to push them out. Notice what it says in verse 13. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxed strong. Now, wait a minute. Did you know the closer you get to God, the stronger you ought to be? The stronger you ought to be in your stand, the stronger you ought to be in your standards, the stronger you ought to be in what you believe, why you believe, and the practice thereof. And so the closer that a person gets to God, the more that a person ought to be able to look at that person, and just by looking at that person, it reminds them of how God really is. It reminds them of the way they ought to be before a holy God. But wait, here's what you see. The Bible says in verse 13, and it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxed strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute. Now, wait a minute. Here's what they're doing. They're looking at the Canaanites, and instead of getting them out of the land, instead of doing what God said to do, here's what they're going to do. They're going to be able to make, if you would please, some type of an agreement by putting them under them as servants and expecting them to pay a tribute. Now, isn't that the way that we treat sin? Instead of us getting sin out of our life, we like to make bargains with sin because we like what the sin gives us. We like what the sin will yield to us. And that's exactly what was taking place here in Manasseh. Manasseh was saying, okay, I know I'm supposed to get rid of sin. I know I'm supposed to obey God completely, but I'm not going to do that. Here's what I want to do. I want to have the pleasures of sin for a season. Because they wanted the pleasure of sin for a season, they're not going to get the full blessing of God. Brother Jonathan, stand up if you will, please. And so here is a Canaanite. Put your Bible away because you're not a believer. And so here is a Canaanite. All right. Now, this Canaanite, if you would not be somebody that you would look at and say, he is a believer. He didn't look like a believer. He didn't smell like a believer. He didn't act like a believer. He didn't walk like a believer. He didn't talk like a believer. He was not a believer. Now, God says, here's what's supposed to happen. You come help me. And God says to that which is Manasseh, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you, I'm going to give you a portion of land. And this portion of land you're supposed to occupy, you're supposed to take control of, you're supposed to, if you will, expel anything out of that land that is not supposed to be in that land. And so God gave them a portion of the land. So God says to Manasseh, I'm going to give you this portion of land. All right. And so he goes over, the tribe goes over into this land. And as they go over into the land, they find out that the land is occupied by that which is wrong. The land is occupied by that which is sinful. The land is occupied by that which is not clean. The land is occupied by those things that are not Christ honoring. And so God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to land. And when I give you the land, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take what is in the land that is not Christ honoring, not God honoring, not things that are symbolic to that which is right or right to God. And I want you to expose those things, and not just expose those things knowing who they are, but expel those things out of the land. That's what I want you to do. And so Manasseh goes over to that which is the land, if you will, that was given. And in the land that was given, there is the Canaanites. Now, what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to grab the Canaanites and throw the Canaanites out of the land. That's what he's supposed to do. That's not what he does. No, he goes over to the Canaanites. The Canaanites is in the land. And the Canaanites, the Bible says that they had chariots of iron. So he looks at the Canaanites, and the Canaanites look like they're strong. Well, that's a pitiful picture of strength. But looks like they're strong, all right? And so that which is Manasseh looks at the Canaanites, and they look like they're strong. But he sees something else. He sees that the Canaanites possess things. And by the way, whatever the Canaanites possess ought not to, listen to me, ought not to be something that impresses you. Because whatever the Canaanites are possessing and they're keeping to themselves is not better than what God himself could do for you. But he notices that the Canaanites possess something. And so instead of expelling the Canaanites out of the land, what does he do? He watches them. And if you will, he decides, I'm going to get what they have. Now, by the way, whenever you see sin, you ought to decide that you're not even interested in getting what they have. Whenever you see something that is holding sin, that ought not to get your attention. My Bible says to set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And so those things that's causing you to be affected, you see a girl and she's walking down through one of her hallways and she is not dressed appropriately, she ought not to draw you. You ought to have more spirituality than to be drawn. you see a boy and he's walking down the hallway and he looks like that he's Mr. Cool Dude and he's got his chest out and he's got his drawers hanging halfway down. He came in off one of the Dallas bus routes and you as a girl, you say, oh, wow, he looks sharp. He ought not to draw you. What ought to draw you is people that live for God. What ought to draw you is people that stand for truth. What ought to draw you is people that say, I'm going to serve God and God alone. And I'm saying tonight that Manasseh decided that they were going to look at the Canaanites. And if you stare at it long enough, you'll decide that it's for you. They were looking at the Canaanites. They weren't supposed to look at the Canaanites. They were supposed to expel the Canaanites. Okay, so all of a sudden something comes into your life. Now, by the way, watch this, if you will. Look down at verse 13. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxed strong. Now, so they're getting stronger. God is making them stronger. Well, the stronger you get, the more that you have, the more that God blesses you, the more that you ought to give back to God. The more that you ought to use your strength for God. Don't cut the God off that blessed you. Don't do that. Wait, here's what it says. Verse 13, the Bible says, yet it came to pass. So that means time has gone by. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxed strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute. So instead of saying, now I'm strong. Doesn't matter what you have. Doesn't impress me. Certainly doesn't impress me. Doesn't matter how you hold it. It doesn't matter if you have chariots of iron. I have a God that's bigger than you. I have a God that can help me. See, here's what we do. We see the things of the world and we say, oh, I wish I had that. And since you have parents that have rules because it's a Christian home, you can't get it. So what you do is you make friends with somebody else that has it. That's exactly what Manasseh was doing. Manasseh was saying, well, I can't bring that into my presence, but I like it that somebody else has it in their presence. And since I can't bring it into my presence, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make friends with somebody else that can get away with it. I'm going to make friends with somebody else that has it. And may I say, that embracement of worldliness and sensuality will get you in trouble. What you're doing is you're not holding hands with the devil. You're holding hands with the devil's crowd who's holding hands with the devil. And so by doing, you're still hooked up. You're still linked up. If you do that long enough, what happens is you have a feeding tube that's coming into you and it's feeding you the poison that you should not have in your system, and eventually you become reliant on the feeding tube. Now, we're not supposed to be that way. The Bible talks about how Manasseh was here. First thing they were supposed to do, go to the land. God said, I gave you the land. The land is your land. He said, I gave this for you. You're supposed to go there and to expel anything that is not Christ honoring and not holy and not right. But instead of doing that, they came and they saw these ones that had chariots of iron and they looked at them and they thought, well, maybe I'm not strong enough. By the way, you listen to me. If Brother Merlo and his wife thought that they weren't strong enough and they relied on their strength, they never would have made it to the mission field. They'd never be an independent Baptist church there in Argentina. There'd never be other churches that's planted out of that church. There would not be those that are standing as he's present here tonight that's preaching in his pulpit if he relied on what he could do. You cannot rely on what you can do. If God tells you to do something, you have to rely on him. By the way, you can't rely on comfort. The will of God is not determined by comfort. Can I help you? The will of God is not determined by your dollar bill. The will of God is determined by him speaking your heart, showing you what to do, and the blessings come not because of you seeing how God can bless you, you touching how God can bless you, the comfort of God blessing you, but the blessings come by a step of obedience. Well, I remember when I went to Bible college, I got on a trailway bus and I went to Bible college. When I went to Bible college, I had $35 in my pocket. $35 in my pocket. When I arrived at Bible college, I didn't know you're supposed to fill out all the paperwork. I had no idea. I didn't know you had to go through a channel in order to get in. And I just kind of thought that you showed up, they signed you up, and you were in. I didn't know that you had to go through all these things. I didn't take any tests before I went to Bible college. I knew you had to. I just knew it was God's will. I go to Bible college, and I went to Bible college. Got a ticket on a trailway bus, jumped on a trailway bus. God said, I want you to go, and I left for Bible college. Didn't have a job. Didn't know where I was going to live. Had no friends. Nothing. Just knew what the will of God was, and I was satisfied. Got on a trailway bus, rode 26 hours plus on a trailway bus, arrived at the college, and I went in, and I said, I'm here to get in. Now, you got to understand, I just finished working a rodeo. I've got blue jeans on. I've got cowboy hats on, cowboy boots on, a cowboy hat, and a flannel shirt. And I arrive, and I say, I'm here to get in. And my hair was a little bit longer than what would be accepted. And so I walk up to a window, and I said, I'm here to get in. And they looked at me and laughed. And I looked around to see what they were laughing at. And I was the only thing there. And they said this, we know where you really want to go. I said, good. I thought they're going to instruct me where to go. They got one of the drivers to come, and he picked me up. And I thought, you know, I must have went to the wrong door or something. And he took me down to the rescue mission. They thought that I was some kid off the street. And I said, no, I don't belong here. Now, I came from a pretty middle class, upper middle class home. And I got out and I said, ooh, I don't belong here. I got back in the car. I said, take me back to that place. They said, no, you need to get out. I said, take me back to that place. And he said, okay. And so he drove me back to the college. I said, look, I'm here for Bible college. He said, well, you can't get in here with that hair like that. I said, well, tell me what to do. I had $35. I mean, I was very wealthy. I could do anything. I said, well, tell me what to do. He said, you go down to the barber and you tell them that you want a Baptist Bible college type of haircut. You're going to a Baptist college. It's a Bible. And you tell them that you want that right type of haircut. I said, okay. I didn't know what that was. Man, I went and sat in a barber chair and I said, give me a Baptist haircut. I'm going to that independent Baptist college right down the road here. Give me a Baptist haircut. And he said, okay. And he started going zoom, zoom. I saw all this hair falling off. I thought, oh my. What is happening? Man, he was cutting all my hair off. And I thought, oh my soul. I was afraid to look in the mirror. I looked in the mirror and I thought, I got ears. I got out of the chair. Once I got out of the chair, the barber shop was right down from the college. I got out of the chair. I walked down to the college. I said, now I'm here to get in. And they said, how much money do you want to put down on a down payment? I said, well, let me see here. I've got $20-some left. Is that enough? They said, you are joking, aren't you? And I said, look, I didn't hop a bus 26 hours to come down here to your school because I'm a joking fella. I said, I did it because I knew what the will of God is, and I'm here, and I'm going to get in. Now, you tell me what to do to get in. And they said, well, you know, $20 is fine for now. You know, and they, I'm telling you, you don't say that, do you? And so they let me fill out the paperwork, and I paid a partial registration fee, and they let me in. God gave me a job. I started working at UPS. I started walking back and forth and thumbing rides, and didn't have a car, didn't have anything. Then finally somebody gave me a 10-speed bike, and I started riding it back and forth. I started praying, God, please give me a car. If you give me a car, I'll pick people up for church. And God gave me my first car, and then the motor blew up, and then God gave me a car, and the transmission blew up, and God gave me another car when Brother Roloff preached, and the brakes did not work, and hit the brake pedal. It wasn't there. It was up, propelled up underneath the steering column, ran through a stop sign, ran into a person's tree in the front yard, and I started praying, God, give me a car where the motor works and the transmission works and the brake works, and he gave me the ugliest car you ever saw in your life, and I got in that car and it worked, and God answered prayer all the way through Bible college. I graduated. I did not owe a penny. I went straight into the ministry and been preaching ever since. But you have to decide what you're going to do. You have to decide, is it the will of God? You have to decide, what is the will of God? The will of God is not based on condition. The will of God is not based on, I think I can do it, I think I can't do it. No, you step out. If God tells you to do something, you pick yourself up, you get out there, and you obey what God has for you to do, and God will bless you. Amen. I'm saying tonight, statement number one, they partially obeyed. They partially obeyed. Here's what they did. They saw that the Canaanites were strong people. And so because they saw that the Canaanites were strong people, perhaps they didn't have the faith to say, okay, get out of here. They saw that they had chariots of iron. Maybe they didn't have the faith to say, get out of here. But then as they stared at them after a while, they saw that they had money. They saw that they could pay tribute. And as they got stronger, now they come to that which is the Canaanites and say, look, we're stronger than you are. We're going to let you stay, but you've got to pay. Now, because they said that to them, what takes place now is the fact that they're still not obeying God. They are partially obeying God. May I say thank you? Be seated if you will, but keep your toy. Statement number one, I said that they partially obeyed the Lord. Statement number two, I want you to think about this tonight. Because they partially obeyed the Lord, because they partially obeyed God, they faced some paralyzing fear in their life. Because they stared at it, they begin to see things they didn't see before. See, the easiest time to do the will of God is when God speaks to your heart. I'm going to tell you why. Because if you don't, many times you'll start staring at yourself, comparing yourself to see if you can do it. It's not about you. It is not about your ability. It is about God working in you and through you. It has nothing to do with you. You're a vessel. A vessel is supposed to make themselves available for God's use. Well, I just don't know if I can do it because I don't have the strength. It's not about your strength. Well, I don't know if I can do it because I don't have the intellect. It's not about your intellect. Well, I don't know if I can do it because I don't have the endurance. It's not about your endurance. It's about you yielding yourself to God and you coming to God and saying, God, I am yours. God, I submit myself to you. I will obey. Here's what it says. Joshua chapter 17, verse 14, the Bible says, and the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua. Now watch what they're saying here. It says, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing that I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? Now, wait a minute. He gave them sufficient to meet their need. But because they're allowing other things, stay with it, because they're allowing other things to come in the life, it's now crowding them. Okay, watch. The people that enjoy church the most when the preacher is preaching is those that's totally yielded. The people that's always looking at their watches and saying, okay, when's he going to be done? They're not looking for God to work in them while they're in. They're looking for a way out because they don't want God to work in them. Now, the people, it's always bowing their heads to pray when it's not time to pray. What are they showing? Disinterest. You ever see somebody and they're always, you know, come on. They're not wanting God to speak to their hearts, and so they're playing with their fingernails. They're scratching the side of their face. They're jotting down things that has nothing to do with the sermon. They're staring with a boy that's halfway across the auditorium. They're staring at a girl that's halfway across the auditorium. They'll sneak out during the beginning of the invitation time because they're not interested to see what God's doing. I mean, they could care less what God is doing. Now, why? Let me tell you why. Because the Bible says here that here is a people that was just paralyzed because they were used, you know, somebody that is paralyzed is somebody, if you will, please, that is not having the mobility to be able to do perhaps what somebody else does. Now, you ought never to put yourself in a place where you are spiritually paralyzed. You ought never to put yourself in a place where your fear overtakes you so much that your fear controls you. Well, I just don't know if I can preach. I know God's called me to preach, but I'm just not sure, preacher, if I ever could preach. You're looking at your inability when you should be looking at his ability. Well, I don't know if God could ever use me on a mission field because after all, I know who I am and God does too. That's why he called you. Because he knows that you'll give him the glory. He knows that you're not going to be proud and puffed up because of all your knowledge and because of all of your persuasional ways, but he knows that you'll yield yourself to him. Well, look at it in verse 16. The Bible says, and the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley, it says, and have chariots of iron. What? Wait a minute. You know what they're doing? They're saying, now wait a minute, stand up, take your toy. They're saying this, the Canaanites that's with us in the land and us that are of Manasseh, the land is not big enough to meet both of our needs. Well, duh. The land was not supposed to meet both of your needs. The land was supposed to meet one of your needs. So here now they're coming back and they're saying, well, wait a minute, we need more land. We need more liberality. We need more because it's not big enough for the both of us. It's not supposed to be big enough for the both of you. It's supposed to be big enough. Hey, you're supposed to serve Christ and Christ alone. You're not supposed to have two masters. You're not supposed to have three masters. You're supposed to have one master, and that is God himself. You're not supposed to let things come into you and overtake you. You know where it starts? Let me tell you where it starts. It always starts with pride. Watch this, if you will. All of a sudden now, Manasseh goes down to take the land. As he goes down to take the land, he sees there's somebody occupying the land. And that somebody, God had already told him, expel them. Get them out of the land. Now, by the way, watch this. New Christian right here. New Christian gets saved. Done no beans about the Bible. Maybe it's somebody that has been saved that just got right with God. Now they're coming to church and everything is new. Coming to church and it's a wow. Wow, listen to that song. Wow. You know, I mean, this is so exciting. Wow. And so they got the wow going on. Okay? And man, they're excited. Then all of a sudden, you stay with me now. Then all of a sudden they see another person that has things in their life. That's in the same land, in the same place, in the same pew. And they look at that person and they know that what the person has is not right. They know that what the person has is going to be harmful to them. But they don't want to hurt their feelings. They don't want to make them feel bad. So what do? They say, well, you can stay in the land. You can sit beside me. We'll be good friends. And then here's what they do. They start to look at what the person has. They don't want to own it themselves because they know God said not to. So they start to look at what the person has and they start to envy it. So much the so, you listen to me, young people, so much the so that they want to keep it around. Because what they're going to do is they're going to feed their flesh indirectly to get their addictional high. And so they just keep it around. Now, wait a minute. The longer you keep it around, the longer you stare at it, the longer you stare at it, the more you're going to want it. The more you want it, eventually, you'll go and get it. Come on. Here's a young man starts to date a girl that is not dedicated. You say, but she has a nice personality. That's not it. How obedient is she to God? That's where you draw the line. Boy, preachers up there and preachers preaching, say, hey, the Bible says. I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says. And she's back there and she's rolling her eyes. You know what that ought to tell you? That ought to tell you, you better back off. Because if you don't back off, eventually you're going to be rolling your eyes. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. All right, now watch. And so you see somebody and what they've got in their hand. Now, by the way, they should have been gone. They should have been gone. God said, I want you to go down to the land that I give you and those that are in the land. Now, I'm not talking about anybody in this church going up to somebody else and saying, you get out of this church. I'm not saying that at all. I'm talking about the friendships that you have in your life. I'm talking about the people that you bring in your life. I'm talking about the people that you bring into your children's lives. I'm talking about some of you teenagers that's getting on this Facebook thing and you're getting on all this other stuff and you try and hide it and you've got these secret websites and you've got all this other stuff that's secretly going on and you've got these relationships that are being built without your parents' knowledge. I'm telling you, here's what you're doing. You're bringing things in your life. You're bringing things in your life. You're not bringing them in your life via through you. You're bringing them in through a friend. And you're thinking highly of your friend that doesn't do right, and it's influencing your heart indirectly. And I'm telling you, what's going to happen is eventually you'll be where they are. You'll begin to develop such a friendship with them that you'll say, well, it's not all that bad. Well, it'll be okay. Well, you have to understand that that's the way they are. No, I don't understand. I do understand they should obey God. I do understand that we need Christian young people. We need a dog. Hey, stop playing around with God. It's not time to play around with God. It's time to say, it is me and my house, and we will serve God. We'll step up. We'll do what's right. Hey, get back to the old-fashioned way. Get back to the Bible. Get back to what is truth. Don't decide to lay down and die. Rise up and do something for God. I'm saying tonight, we understand this, that here's what takes place. We understand that when you obey God partially, after a while, you get paralyzed in that partiality. Watch, there are some people that will be hot for God. Now, you know what I'm talking about. Reason with me. And then there are some people that will never be hot for God. There's some people that will be cold. They won't ever even be warm. Let me tell you why. Because they have been there so long that they're comfortable. They're comfortable. And when you abide someplace so long, you become like the place. Years ago, when you first got saved, no doubt. Years ago, when you first got saved, you came to church and it was the wow. I mean, it was the wow. I've said a couple of things about Carlos and Amanda, and I'm watching them grow, and it's a neat thing. Some of you were here this morning, and I told the story about Carlos, and he was my soul-winning partner. Carlos. Oscar. Woo! You didn't know your wife had two husbands, did you? Oscar went soul winning with me yesterday. And boy, we're out. I'm talking about we're in Forney. We're knocking doors. It's hot. Some of you heard the story this morning. And Brother Wislowski is very kind to us. He gave us 400 miles to cover. We're out there knocking doors. And man, we're going street after street after street after street. And it is hot. We got our monkey jackets on and we're walking along. And boy, we're knocking doors. And we come this one door, we knock it, and John comes out, businessman, very, very kind, steps outside. I show John how to be saved. John bows his head, receives Christ. When I say amen, Carlos decided to collapse. Oscar decided. Come here, Oscar. Come here. Where's Carlos? Where? Come here, Carlos. So I'm soul winning with Oscar. Watch this now. I am not soul winning with Carlos. One day you and I will go. I hope you practice what he did. When I lead somebody to Christ, you get so excited, you collapse. Come on up here. And watch this. So he and I are out soul winning. Boy, we got our jackets on. It's hot. He's sweating. I'm sweating. I'm stinking. He's stinking worse. We're walking along. We're having a good time, though. Yeah. We are, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
And man, we're walking along. We're knocking doors. And it was good. I mean, it was good. Very nice neighborhood. John steps outside. I show John how to be saved. And John, very receptive, wasn't he?
Yes, sir.
Boy, bowed his head, received Christ as Savior. I'm saying amen. All of a sudden, he collapses. I mean, show us. Carlos, you want to show us? And so Oscar collapsed. I'm talking about, and I asked, I said, well, what happened? He said, well, you know, you were teaching about that silent partner thing all Saturday morning. I didn't want to interrupt. So as you were leading the guy to the Lord in prayer, he said, I started feeling dizzy. So he is right behind me, and there's these pillars of this nice house. There's these pillars. So he takes his elbows and puts them around the pillars, and he's holding on. I'm leading the guy to Christ. I have no idea what's going on. Then all of a sudden, when I say amen, he goes limp and collapses. I'm telling you, whole body's limp, falls down on the cement, head first. I mean, just totally limp, falls down, gets himself a big old gash up here. And so, man, gets his big old gash up here, and man, he's laying, I mean, he is unconscious, Brother Allen. I mean, he is out cold. And after a while, he came to, and I'm down there. Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Oscar, are you okay? And so I'm trying to get him to come alive. And finally, you know, he looks up and he smiles like only he can do. He smiles. I'm okay. But by that time, the police officer's riding down the street and he's on his motorcycle. And I flagged him in real quick. And I'm telling you, there was a police officer. Police officer called two ambulances. Now, why he did that, I do not know. We have one body, two ambulances. One was for Carlos and one was for Oscar. And so caused two ambulances. And I'm thinking, wow, they're serious about this. I thought, man, we live out in Forney area. I thought we must live in a very safe area. I got a policeman on a motorcycle. I got a police car. I've got two ambulances and a fire truck that comes because he collapsed and hit the ground. Can you imagine what's going to happen if somebody actually gets robbed? And I'm thinking, man, this is absolutely incredible. But he got up. John helped us a little bit, brought a chair out. His wife, very kind, very, very nice lady, brought us some water out. He sits in the chair. They come and take his vitals and find out he's still kicking. And then we go on our way, get something to eat. Amanda comes out, joins us, and then we go home. Now, wait a minute. What am I saying? He could have given me every excuse as to, boy, you know, preacher, I'm not feeling well. Was sick the day before.
Yes, sir.
High fever. And all of a sudden just decides, I'm just going to go out. Now, come on. If a new Christian can do that, then why can't you and I do that are old Christians? Come on. Thank you. Be seated. Carlos, you too. Watch this, if you will. Thank you. Be seated, fellas. Well, I got to hurry now. Here's what we see. We see the story of Manasseh. Manasseh is supposed to go in and occupy the land. As they go in to occupy the land, they see the Canaanites. They're supposed to expel the Canaanites from the land. They don't expel the Canaanites from the land. Manasseh grows stronger and stronger. As they grow stronger, they should take a stronger stand. They do not take a stronger stand. They take a weaker stand. They become less dedicated. They become less of what God wants them to be. Now they look over as they get closer to that which is the Canaanites, which represents evil, represents wrong, and represents that which is not embracing the will of God. And so they look at that and they see the possessions and they thought, I'm going to make some money off this. I like what they have. Even though I don't have it, I'll get what they have. And so they started to be able to collect the tribute. As they started to begin to collect the tribute, you see something else that takes place in their life. And I'm going to hasten to a close. The problem now has perverted their priorities. Now things are totally different. Why is it different? Because they decided simply not to obey God. That's where it starts. You know, if a person says, hey, I'm going to obey God, I'm going to do it. Hey, God's will, that's the most important thing. And it doesn't matter if anybody else is doing it. I'm going to do what is right by God. That's where it has to be. You know, watch this here. I'm done. Look at it. Joshua chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible says, and Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph. Of course, we know, of course, the Manasseh there. The Bible says, even to Ephraim and unto Manasseh. So he's speaking to the house of Joseph. And again, you see Ephraim. And again, you see Manasseh. That's all of them there. The Bible says, saying, thou, it says, art a great people. And it says, and has great power. Watch what it says. And thou shalt not only, watch it, not only have one lot or have one lot only. He said, look, you don't have one. I gave you all of this. This is yours. Watch what he says in verse 18. It says, but the mountain shall be thine. They already had that. It says, for it is wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. And it says, for thou shalt drive the Canaanites. He comes back again. He said, look, the problem, you had all this before, it's all part of the lot, but the problem is you did not drive the Canaanites out. It says, though they have iron, watch what it says, chariots, and though they be strong. He says, even though these people are strong, what's holding you back is not what I gave you. What is holding you back is those that you have brought in your life. That is what's holding you back. You know, if we would understand that people do influence, come on, you get around somebody that's hot for God. And stay with my thought. Somebody that's always telling you about, boy, how good God is. Boy, let me tell you how God answered prayer. Let me tell you what God has done. Let me tell you how God has treated me this week. Wow, let me just tell you about that. Let me tell you about how many people had the privilege to lead to Christ this week. Wow, let me tell you about that person that came to church and got baptized. Oh, that's so neat. Let me tell you, John and Hannah went down to be with Dr. and Mrs. May. I want to tell you something. Dr. May has been standing alone, soul winning, and there's good people there. No doubt there's been people, and I know many of them listen to the podcast. But he's been standing alone, and many of those good people have come on board, and they've stood beside him. But let me tell you, an energy shot. John and Hannah shows up, and today they walked 8 people down the aisle that was baptized. That is a shot in the arm. You know, I'm going to tell you why. Because that's encouraging Dr. and Mrs. May. And that's encouraging everybody else that's in the church to say it can be done. And it's not just the preacher's job. And the preacher doesn't just have the power to be able to do. You know, the best thing you could do as a Sunday school teacher is to live right, go soul winning, and help people. That's the best thing you can do. Don't talk about being a soul winner. Let the teenagers and let the children see you leading somebody to Christ. That's the best example you can be. Look, I'm saying tonight, here we go, and I'm going to close it. The Bible says that thou shalt drive out the Canaanites. And so he's saying the same thing. Thou shalt drive out the Canaanites. The Bible says, lo, they have iron chariots, and lo, they be strong. He said, look, you've already got the forest. You've already got the mountain. You've already got the woods that's in the forest. All you've got to do is go in there and possess it and do what you're supposed to do. Vince Lombardi became very famous in one area of his life, and he was sitting at a table, and every time he would sit at the table, people would run up and get him to sign something that they had. And all of a sudden, he sees this 12-year-old little boy coming up to his table, so he whipped out his pen. He thought the 12-year-old little boy wanted a signature, and the 12-year-old little boy went over to the table and said, can I have that ketchup? took the ketchup and went back to his table. So Vince Lombardi put his pen up. Sometimes we begin to think too highly of ourselves than what we should. You know who Manasseh reminds me of? Reminds me of a dog that's chasing a car. You ever see the dogs that chase the cars? You know, you're driving along. Now, I don't like it when the big dogs chase the cars and they try to jump in the window and the window is not down. And all of a sudden, you've got this big Rover and they die. Boom. You know, you got this body that's in, I mean, there's a spit all over the place. But you ever see the dogs that chase the cars? Did you ever stop to think, okay, what's the dog going to do with the car once it catches it? That's like Manasseh. Well, Manasseh was supposed to do something, didn't do it. Now it's like, okay, so what are you going to do with it now? You got yourself into this fix, so what are you going to do? We were out soul winning. I took Michael, I think, with me a couple of weeks ago, and I took Michael with me, Michael Weslowski, and we were walking down the street, and all of a sudden here comes this dog running aggressively across the street. Michael started to take off, and I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, don't do that. That dog's going to chase you. Don't do that. And so I said, you stand here. And I started walking to the dog. And the dog looked at me and went, walked away. Now, I'm saying this. When you chase things, sometimes when you chase those things, they are ones that will stop and let you catch them. But you don't have them. They have you. You be very careful. I'll give you this closing story, King Narajah. King Narajah was a very famous king that was in the West Indies. King Narajah was a very famous king, and he wanted to see all of the villages, and he wanted to see all of the areas of which he did reign. King Narajah could give anybody anything he wanted. He was the king. So he decided to see what his people would be like. And so he disguised himself and he rode through the country area and through the villages. And he came across a man that was sitting there, and the man was eating some rice. King Narajah looked over at the man and he said, can I have some of your rice? And the man meanly looked at him and said, you go get your own rice. This is my rice. He said, well, can I have just a couple of grains or pieces of that rice? No, you go get your own rice. You have no right to ask for my rice. This is my rice. You want rice? You go work for it. You go earn it. I'm not giving you any of my rice. King Narajah looked down and he said, I'll only ask you one more time. He said, can I just have just a few pieces of your rice? The man scoffed and laughed and counted out 1, 2, 3. Gave him 3 pieces of the rice. And as King Narajah was pulling away and as he was going off into the dust, that man began to begrudgingly eat his rice. And as he began to begrudgingly eat his rice, he bit down on something and he spit it out. And it was a piece of gold. He thought, man, there's gold in my rice. Wasn't gold in my rice before. He began to scurry, look through the rice, and he found another piece of gold and another piece of gold, and it hit him. I gave 3 pieces of rice away, and I got 3 pieces of gold. He stood to his feet. He said, oh, king, come back. Oh, king, come back. You can have all of my rice. But it was too late. Man, I said, don't wait until it's too late. You decide in your day when you have the strength, not to be like Manasseh, but you decide to be that one that will go into the land and obey God and keep that which is your land that you're supposed to be a steward of, keep it right for God.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.